you took that opportunity in that crisis of trying to settle this little one down at 4 a.m. Yeah. You're like, that would be a great kid's book. And not only did you think that thought, you took the action. And that's, I heard there's three things we need to manifest things and desire. Mm. Thought, an emotion, and action. And most people stop here at the first step. But you kept going, and out came this beautiful book that not only you can be proud of, but you can share with everybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your little one is going to be so proud of you when they get, you know, old enough. They're probably enjoying the book now.
Yeah.
As a one-year-old. Keep reading, Dad, because that's a good thing for kids.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we get to speak with Carolyn Willman. She began her writing journey as the contest queen, teaching others how to master the art of sweepstakes. As you must believe, you are a winner before you are. Becoming a republisher of out-of-print mindset and metaphysical books was a natural next step. Carolyn has republished all of Helene Hadsell's works, and soon to be released are all of Tag and Judith Powell's At Words for Winning. Carolyn's story is one of resilience and innovation. Stay tuned as we uncover the secrets behind her journey and learn valuable lessons along the way. Carolyn, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
This is going to be exciting because you've been helping so many people create their works of art. Anywhere from creating copies of books and making sure that they're in alignment with where they should be going. You're also the contest queen because you've been helping people run these amazing contests and kick things off. I'm super excited to go deep into how you got here.
Life isn't a straight line, let me tell you. What started as a hobby, so I was a marketer first. I went to college, got my business with marketing major, did every job in the marketing department you can imagine. And then I got caught in the big layoffs when the bubble burst for the dot-com industry because everything was tech.
Yeah.
And I found myself unemployed for the longest stint because companies couldn't see the transfer of skills. Because marketing is marketing, but I was struggling to get over that hurdle. In the meantime, I read an article in Reader's Digest about a couple who entered sweepstakes as a hobby. And I thought, what a good idea. I don't have to work. I'll just win stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, it does not work that way. I'm going to tell everybody right now, because I've been entering sweepstakes as a hobby since 2001, and I have yet to earn my living winning, but I can tell you it enhances your life in ways you can't imagine. I have won trips and prizes and things that are fantastical, and I have made friends for life in the sweepstakes community. And to me, that is priceless. So
yeah,
it's the best. I always say it's the best hobby ever. And then, so I'd started entering, but what I did was, and I didn't realize it until later, was I had taken my marketing background, because sweepstakes are one form of marketing. They're one tool in a marketer's tool belt.
That's right.
And I had taken that marketer's perspective and I implemented it on the hobby, and I started winning a lot because I understood it from both sides of the table. And at the same time I had started the entering as a hobby, I had gotten pregnant. So I was off for a few years. I just stayed home and thought, okay, when my daughter was about 2.5, I thought it's time to go back to work. I'm ready. I felt ready. And I thought, what am I going to do? Do I go to an office? Do work from home wasn't huge then. So that wasn't an option. And after a winning streak, everyone kept saying to me, what is your secret? And I had a system, and someone said, you should write a book.
Yeah.
And I did some research, and someone said to me, why would you give away all your secrets? That's a good question. I was going to a girlfriend's house to have coffee to discuss this. I passed a church, and on the service announcement board, it said, you can't lose helping others win. And I thought, Oh my gosh. People say, God, please give me a sign. I had a literal sign. Yeah. And we didn't have cell phones. Like I had a cell phone, but we didn't take pictures the same way we do
it was
now.
It wasn't a smartphone or anything, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a smartphone.
Yeah.
It was a flip phone. I remember. I think I could have taken a picture, but I wasn't taking photographs at that point. And I didn't go back with a camera because they usually left them up for a week. I didn't think of it, but I instantly knew in that moment that was my path. And so I started writing my first book. I'm now on book 8 and I'm writing 4 at the same time. I'm a little bit crazy. I've got one in being translated. One is audio and 2 print.
Let's go.
I know. I've got this modular system I got going, but so I should have 12 soon, but that was my first book. I started writing it and that's when I launched the website Contest Queen, because what I realized while I was writing the book, there was no one resource for everyone to find all the tools available to them for the hobby. It was scattered all over the internet. Yeah. And again, it was 20 years ago and there wasn't one resource. So I basically call myself the hub of all things contesting, because if you go to my website, there's the list for resources, the list for sweepstakes club, there's how to's, I made it easy for people to learn.
You became the aggregator of everything.
I aggregated the aggregators.
Yes. Nice.
And then of course, with my marketing background, I could also run the giveaway. So I had companies start to reach out to me and say, hey, can you help us with our giveaway?
Yeah.
Then I thought, okay, I was doing it as Contest Queen for a while, but it became muddled between the teaching and the marketing. Finally, I broke it off and I launched. And so it took me 10 years, but I finally broke it off. So I had Contest Queen from 2004 to 2014. It still exists. But in 2014, I started Idea Majesty. I wanted to keep that crown as a marketing company to help companies with their giveaways. So I can viral market it. I can vet the rules. I do all the back end stuff. I do draws. Sure. I've done fulfillment. It's very fun. I love helping people win on both sides of the table.
Yeah.
And then I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity in 2008 and then I sat on it, which I highly recommend people don't do, because usually opportunities go away. But this one, thankfully, was waiting for me. There is a woman who wrote a book in 1971. Her name was Helene Hatzell, and she wrote The Name It and Claim It Game, about how she won every prize she ever desired, including a fully furnished home. And so you are in the contest community. You've heard of her and her book. And I had a podcast in 2008. I know. I wish I'd kept it, but it only lasted a few years.
Sure. That's still a long time, especially given the time period that you had it going.
I have the audio. And people get mad at me when they say, you should adjust the levels and have the, and I'm like, do you understand how podcasting worked in 2008? I phoned in on my landline and she phoned in on her landline to a computer and there was no adjusting anything.
Yeah, you just recording that audio. It's like a phone call recorded.
Yeah, basically
it's like pre-NSA, right?
Anyway, I had her on the show. I got a hold of her and I had her on the show. But I was so cheeky off air. I said, I want to come visit you. And she's like, no. I'm like, all right. 3 days later, she phones me back. Now, if you've read any of her books, she was highly intuitive. And then she wrote some other books that were very metaphysical. And she called me back and said, your spirit guides are so loud. You better come visit. So I went and visited her for 4 days. And while I was there, she said to me, I need you to teach Maneuvers for Wishcraft, which was the subtitle of her book and a course she taught, because she said no one else is going to teach it. At that point, she realized none of her grandchildren were going to pick up the gauntlet on her books. They wanted to keep her legacy going, but no one was going to, the books.
Do the work.
And also, printing back then wasn't the same as it is now. It was the burgeoning of where it is now, but it wasn't. And she also wasn't technically savvy.
Sure.
And she was in her mid-80s, so
she
wasn't ready to do what I'm doing. It wasn't her place and time. And then I sat on it because my life went, that's what I said, success isn't a straight line. We think, oh, yeah, you're just going to do this. No, it did this and this and around and up and down.
Yes.
I got divorced and we went bankrupt and I had some health issues for a little bit. Thankfully, nothing serious, just a little bit of everything just smattered in for good measure. And so finally in 2019, I thought, it's been more than a decade. I better do something about this.
Better do something with this.
Because I was finally in a much better place.
Mm.
And I got a hold of her son, who was, she had three children, but only one was currently living. Two predeceased her, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And so I got a hold of him and I said, hey, your mom said this to me like 10 years ago. I think I better do something. And he said, yeah, good idea. And so I bought the rights outright because I said to him, if I don't own the rights and you pass away, it still dies. And he said, you're right. So I bought the rights and I started republishing. She had published four books in total, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started republishing those. And then I love telling this because it was a very good lesson for me and I want to share it with others. Sometimes we think things are a crisis and they turn into an opportunity.
Mm.
One day I get a message from Amazon. They say the copyright page in the book isn't right and you need to fix it or we're pulling the book in 5 days. I panicked. I own the copyright. I say, I own the copyright. They're like, no, you have to go and read our terms, blah, blah, blah. It took me days to figure this out. And I finally figured it out. My mistake was I had kept the copyright the way she had written it back in the day, but it wasn't up to standard for current modern printing methods. And I had to update it. And so once I did that, I was fine. However, in my panic, I contacted all her previous publishers to make sure that they didn't hold any copyright.
Mm-hmm.
And her second publisher was Tag Powell. And I discovered him through a lot of internet Googling because it was Top of the Mountain Publishing and they weren't in business anymore.
Mm.
And then I thought, wait a minute, I recognize that name. And in 2022, like almost 2 years ago now, I went to her house to collect the remains of her business files to help me maintain her legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a few books from her library, and one of them was a Silva Method book because she had worked with Jose Silva, and it was by Tag Powell. I thought, wait, I recognize that name. So I dug it out, and so I started searching the internet, and I found four addresses, and I mailed a letter off to each of them. One of them found him. He was 85.
Wow.
He had a stroke. He had COPD and he phoned me. And it turned out he was a bigger author in his own right. Not only did he write that one book, he had dozens of others.
Mm.
And I sent him Helene's books and he was so amazed at the change in the publishing, like how far it had come since he had published her book in 1988.
Yeah.
And I was now more brazen. I thought, okay, there's nothing to fear. So I said to him, who's maintaining your legacy? So I bought the rights to 10 of his books and 6 of his audio series. So what started as a crisis, me panicking, thinking this book's going to get pulled off Amazon, ended up growing my business twofold. So that was a good lesson.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So now when something happens, I don't panic. I go, hey, what's the opportunity here? Where can this go?
Mm.
It's not necessarily a bad thing when something happens. You just have to slow down and breathe. And because he had done the Silva book, I ended up contacting the Silvas and I got the rights to republish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, if I'm publishing a Silva book, I better learn the Silva method inside out and backwards. So I'm in the midst of taking the Silva instructor training. So that was something I wasn't expecting to do either. So all these doors opened up. So from one email from Amazon, three doors opened.
And this is just a few years ago.
It was the end of 2022.
Okay.
Because I got a hold of Tag and then I had to do all the research to make sure all the printing. So I had to get a lawyer to write the contracts and all that stuff takes time. And then we drove to Florida in March. And then I was working on all the different things to finalize the process. It took a full year. And unfortunately, he passed last August. So he didn't get to see any of the books because I was still working on the whole process. But I know he's up there and he's happy. He's going to be so proud when they come out. But he did get to see the website I built. I finally built an author website. Yeah, that was the other thing. I've known I needed an author website for years, but I put it off as long as I could. And now that I had all these books, I thought, I can't put it off any longer.
That's so powerful. So tell me, when you republish these books, are you calling yourself as the author, or what, like, how does that work out?
No, I put the author's names there, and then I put updated by on it. So when I go into Amazon, there's no updated option. I just put editor.
Sure.
I just mark myself as the editor, because in a way I am. I'm editing it for modern methods. I add in stories. I'll add in intros. Mm-hmm. I'll fix the, like, God bless Helene. This is what's amazing. I want to be like her when I get older. When I got all the documents, the last copy I had of the Name It and Claim It game was printed in 2003. Her son sent me a digital copy from 2010. So she had kept updating it till she passed away.
That's amazing.
She was improving the book, but she had no technical skills. So she would edit the book with the space bar and the return key. And I was like, oh no. I had to move chapters into the proper order because she didn't know how to do that. She just plunked it wherever she could figure it out.
Yeah.
She had an idea for, like, small stories, so they just stuck them to the end of chapters because that's how she knew how to put them in. So I had to do a lot of rejigging.
Yeah. Matt, this is really powerful. Your journey from going down the sweepstake hobby to becoming the contest queen to now being a republisher of amazing legacies, amazing authors. Yeah.
And I know there'll be other people after I finish with Tag. And actually, I ended up buying not just his books. I bought his wife's books. Like, five were his and five were hers. I'll be republishing her books too. So really, I have Tag and Judith.
That's amazing.
I know there's other authors after that. But I still haven't stopped being the contest queen. Like, I wear three crowns and juggling, which isn't always easy. But I'm publishing one of the four that I'm working on right now is Prizes Everywhere. And I say it's going to be my last sweepstakes book because I have so much on my plate.
That's amazing because, right, the more you do, right, the more similar type of work comes your way and the universe starts to see you as the authority in that space. And that's, what's that word? It's a gift and a curse, right?
That is.
So what arises for me is because I just published my second book this last week, and it's a children's book. So my question is, as you update these books, do the previous versions of the books remain published, or do you take them down? Like, how does that
work? Well, they weren't. Okay, so KDB. With Helene, for example, she published the first one in 71, and that publisher, it went out of print, and then she republished it with Tag Powell in 88.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, they had a print run, and then when it was finished, that was it. So she realized in the 2000s that people were trying to sell her books for hundreds of dollars because there was no more copies.
Yeah.
So she started printing it herself at home and sirloxing it, like a little sirlox book.
I'm not even sure what that word means. That's a brand new word to me.
Oh. It's where it has the spiral bind on the back. Okay. Just a little self-printed, and it looked like it had been copied a few times.
Sure. Of course.
And so the quality wasn't there. The words were fantastic, but the quality was like homemade.
Yeah.
And so she kept changing it. So I took all the editions and I merged them. Like, and she had sent me some articles to share and different things. So I basically have the first part of the book is the first book. And the second part is what she also added in the second book.
Mm.
And then the third, then the bonus material, I added the bonus material. So I have a section called bonus material of all the things that I added.
Yeah.
So people think, so basically they're getting all of it, but you can still find old copies around.
Sure.
But they're not in print anywhere, which is why I did it. And one of her concerns was she wanted to keep it affordable for people to learn these lessons. And so I've kept the price as low as I could with the printing costs.
Mm-hmm.
to honor that request for her so that people wouldn't sell it for hundreds of dollars. If they want to sell it for hundreds, they can. I don't think they'll get anything for it. And then there's also the other thing that wasn't available to her. I also have it as an ebook, both on Kindle and Kobo and Apple Books and Google Books. So you can get it. And then I started recording Audible editions. So there's now an Audible. These weren't even.
They weren't around when she was around.
Thing. Yeah. So now I'm slowly. So I've done two and I'm actually working on the third one. I'm very excited. We just started last week.
That's amazing. So you're basically digitizing her entire learning. So now anybody who has the latest tech can access that information.
Yeah, and I will be doing the same with Tags, too. I'm working on his first paperback because the ebooks come out at the same time, right? Because I finished the paperback and then I just make it an ebook. The ebook
version, yeah.
And then I'm going to have, actually for his books, I don't think a woman should record his books. So I'm in the process of hiring a voice actor.
Nice.
And he will do Tags books because I think Tag had a really nice, deep voice. Mm-hmm. And we have some of his recordings, so the actor will know his cadence, his temperance, his inflictions.
How many recordings do you have of him? Is it worth
only
like
a couple? 30, there's one video like I've already put minutes? Up online.
Uh-huh.
And then I have the audio series. So there's one. So his first book that I'm publishing is called Money and You.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an audio version that he did called Instant Money. They go together.
Yeah.
And I'm publishing them at the same time. So if people buy the book Money and You and they want to hear, he has a mini seminar and then a meditation, which is cool, that matches the book. So I'm going to release them at the same time. So I'll have six of his talking about.
So something to think about, and this is because the era that we're living in, we've seen AI, we've seen all of this cool stuff come out. If you were to, since you have the rights to his publishing, I don't know if you have the rights to his voice, but you could technically, there are tools out there that you can upload the voice and then you can type in the text that the voice then says back.
Yeah, I know.
You tried it? I just wanted to ask.
Have you tried it?
Have I tried it? Yes. I have
and?
Tried it. And so all the podcast episodes that go out, the intro that I'm introducing, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Carolyn Willman and all of the intro piece. That's all digitized and automatically created thanks to this technology. Yeah.
I don't know. Like the real...
Of course.
I think there's something about the energy.
Yeah.
If you've read, you haven't, I don't...
I haven't read her books. Yeah.
But if you read her other books about all the metaphysics and his books too, there's something about the energy of life that I don't think can be replicated with AI. That's why, for example,
I agree.
There's nothing like going to a sweepstakes convention. People go, there's conventions. Yes, there's conventions.
Of course there's conventions.
and this year, and they move around. Like in 2022, it was in New Hampshire. Last year, it was in Phoenix, Arizona. This year, it's going to Las Vegas. Next year, it's going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
So it moves around. And it's just for sweepers, as we call them, people that like to enter giveaways. And then we have speakers and draws, of course. So we learn things. We hear about other people's experiences.
Yeah.
The energy.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the room is
undeniable.
Palpable. And you feel like a million bucks. Like I have the best. If I didn't win anything all weekend and I just went to hang out with my friends, it's worth every penny.
Absolutely. I just came back from an event last week. We were at Traffic and Conversion and Summit in Vegas. And the energy of the people, it's just amazing.
I'm so grateful that we have the technology that we can do this.
Yeah.
And share. And we can be anywhere in the world in any time zone. If you're up at the right time, you can do it from anywhere.
Absolutely.
But there's something about the energy people. I'm a Toastmaster. Helene was actually a Toastmaster too. There's something about standing when I'm giving a speech.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel the difference between sitting here and giving a speech Yeah. And standing in a room and giving the speech, it is much different. And the energy of the speech is much different. And so that's one of the things that I love, that we do get to go out and be around other humans after being shut in for some time.
I totally agree. And it's an ever changing. Like last year, I think I went to have all these name tags hanging, at least 10 different events.
Wow.
This last year. 10 different, I think 4 podcast events, 3 other events. Like, yeah. So I totally get it. And I love going out. So I love your journey. You're going from sweepstakes to becoming the queen of helping others launch sweepstakes. And you're still doing that. And now you're jumping into something brand new. I don't know if you call it brand new, but republishing books. It's new for you. All right. Perfect.
New for me.
I love that. All right. So let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll go into the 3 hacks that you can share with the audience. And then we'll do the 6 short questions at the end of the show. So that will be right back.
I think that is one of my tips.
All right. Perfect. Are you ready to amplify your business? SPI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SPI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Join SPI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SPI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Carolyn Willman on the podcast. And during the break, I shared with her the 2 books that I published, one last year, one this year. And I'm super excited. And she's, oh my God, this is so cute. And she had some really profound things to say on what I did, what most people might not be doing. And that's something that I want to invite Carolyn to share the 3 hacks, but also take us through that thought process that she was thinking.
I had just told of a story that where I had a crisis and I out came an opportunity. You had almost the same experience. You had an infant that was not settling down. And in that moment, when you're very tired at 4 a.m., that is a crisis.
I guess so. Yeah.
So you were doing whatever you could to settle this little one down. And what struck you was, you have this beautiful poster in your home with all the alphabet. So you started reading the alphabet. It's a great thing to read to kids, because I think that's one of the reasons I'm a writer, because I read ferociously as a child.
Yeah.
And it was, you said alligator and apple and elephant and electric guitar. And you said when you got down to V, vulture and violin, you thought, what if the animals were actually doing the thing in the poster? So you had this divine inspiration, that lightning bolt that everyone wants to bottle. And most people go, yeah, whatever. They just gone. You took that opportunity in that crisis of trying to settle this little one down at 4 a.m. You're like, that would be a great kid's book. And not only did you think that thought, you took the action. And that's, I heard there's 3 things we need to manifest things into desire. Thought, an emotion, and action. And most people stop here at the first step. But you kept going, and out came this beautiful book that not only you can be proud of, but you can share with everybody else. And I'm sure your little one is going to be so proud of you when they get, you know, old enough. They're probably enjoying the book now.
Yeah.
As a 1-year-old, keep reading, Dad, because that's a good thing for kids.
Amen. And my kids are ferocious readers as well. We have books up the wazoo in our library, in the kids' rooms. They have little bookshelves and they get books all the time, every time they go to the library. My daughter, actually, she's in kindergarten and she's bringing books for her older brother. Oh, I got these books for Musa because he loves to read Dog Man. And there's another book. I can't remember the name of it.
all the series. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed that my parents are readers and I'm a reader. My daughter's a reader because my husband and I were readers.
Yeah.
And yeah. So there's so many books in our house. Like on my goals, at one point I will have a house big enough to have a library in, because right now all my books are stored in Rubbermaid bins. So I can still access them for work. But there's no home for them yet.
It's like a library book. Yeah.
There will
like
be a time.
A bookshelf or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. No space in this house yet. So I'm gonna manifest myself.
We'll make it a reality.
Space.
That's right.
Could be an office.
Yeah.
Could be a home. Maybe I'll win a home like Helene. I don't know.
Boom. Let's do it.
Boom. It'll open. The door's gonna open. I don't know when, but I will have a library.
So that was the first hack is to take the action on the thought that occurs, right?
So I'll give a couple of other hacks. I'll give my quick three sweepstakes hacks, and then I'll do the life hacks. Because I always say I teach people how to win in life. Oh, and sweepstakes.
And sweepstakes.
As a bonus, because honestly, yes. It is the best hobby. So if you're going to enter sweepstakes as a hobby, set up an email address just for entering sweepstakes. Use a sweepstakes aggregate or sweepstakes site, because it makes it easy for you to find legitimate sweepstakes you can enter. And three, always read the rules, which is almost a rule for life, not just sweepstakes.
Always read the rules.
Always read the rules, because then you don't know, are you eligible to even enter? When does it close? How often can you enter? All those things. And then for winning in life, yes, listen, my first one, and you did this, I'll tie it into what you said. Always listen to your little voice. Because I know everyone has done this, and I've done it too, where you hear a little voice that says something, and you're like, well, that's just crazy. That makes no sense. It's completely illogical. And you keep going down your logical path. And what happens? You go, dang, I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't listen because it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I've had crazy ones where I was on a bus one time and I thought, oh, I should get off here and go that way. Why? Turns out I had a friend who'd been in an accident and they were in the hospital down the street.
Wow.
And I got home and I was calling and I found out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why I wanted to get off and go to the hospital that way.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
Follow the gut feeling.
Follow that gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
To call somebody, to take a direction, an intuitive hit on somebody. When I met George, my boyfriend, my first hit on him was, this man has your back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a good sign. So it can work everywhere. You might feel that in business. You might have something with, like you did it with your book. You had this divine inspiration. Oh, I should write a kid's book. Mm-hmm. Yes, you should. That's not a logical thought.
It's not logical. Yeah.
Not a lot. Why would I write a kid's book? I do this for a living. No, you wrote the kid's book. I'm so proud of you for listening to that little voice. So you've got to follow that divine inspiration. And then also when we're going through life, watch what's around you, because everything's a mirror, which sometimes we don't like. But it's good information.
It is good information.
Because if you don't like, I've heard this example. I can't remember who taught it. I think it's Joe Dispenza, but I could be wrong. If you look in the mirror and you go, I'll smile when that smiles. No, you change and then it changes. Yeah. It's like not liking the fruit on a tree and blaming the fruit, when what you should be doing is fixing the health of the tree, work on the roots,
fruit
will change. So it's the same thing when we do internal work. That's one of the reasons I'm taking the Silva courses, because Helene Hatzell worked with Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Tag was a Silva instructor. That's where she met him through. And one of the things that we do as part of the program is I meditate every day, which was something I struggled with for years. Boy, this forced me to do it.
Yeah.
And then once you get into the habit of something, If you just get that wheel going,
yeah,
it's easier to sustain it. But boy, starting was so hard.
Yeah.
But it's just getting it going. I had so much pushback from the outside. I'm like, okay, I have to do it now. I don't really have a choice. I just paid for the course.
That's so true. When you put the money down, then you really take into the account, okay, I gotta get this done because I put money in. You're literally invested in it.
Yes. And it was good for me, but it took that. Somebody else might wake up and go, oh, they didn't need all that incentive. They can just start a program.
Yeah.
It makes them start to look in, to slow down, to breathe. And when you start to do that, things occur. And be careful and be specific. Here's the other thing I want people to know. Mm-hmm. Be specific in your affirmations and your meditations. So Jack Canfield always, this is my favorite example. He was teaching a course and he was asking people what they wanted in life. And one guy says, I want more money. So he reaches into his pocket. He tosses the guy a quarter. The guy's like, what's this? He goes, more money. He goes, I want more than this. He goes, then you need to be specific because you just manifested more money.
Yeah.
You got exactly what you just asked for.
You wanted more money. Here's more money.
So I'm working and I'm learning all these different Silva meditation techniques. And so one, I thought my job here on earth is to introduce as many people as I can to these teachings that I am honored to keep going. So I thought, what a good idea. I'm going to have as many people that need to learn from me, find me. That mm-hmm. was the message. Then I had a TikTok go viral. It had 3 million views.
Nice.
But nobody was getting the books. Nobody was doing any of the courses. They just saw the TikTok. And I thought, I did get what I asked. I didn't get what I asked for.
Why don't you go viral on TikTok? There you go.
That wasn't what I envisioned, but that's not what I said.
Yeah. That's what you said in there.
And I realized after it was fun, right? Everybody's asking me all these questions about sweepstakes and this and that. And then I realized after, oh, that happened right after I did that meditation. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should have been more specific. Because I did exactly what that gentleman did. In That's Jack right. Canfield's course.
That's right.
Was I asked for something, but I wasn't specific.
So let's recap the three hacks that you shared.
Follow your inner voice and then take action. That's a two-parter, really. Yeah. Think the thought, feel the feelings, take the action. And then
be specific.
Be specific.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. If I had the same thought, so I've been a serial idea generator for a long time. And I think we're all serial idea generators because we come up with ideas all the time. That was almost 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, where we came up with this idea. And I was like, hey, I'm driving home from work. It takes me a while. What if I could order groceries and pick them up at the grocery store? Just use an app and do that. And I was like, oh my God, that's an awesome idea. So me and two of my other friends, we started working on this project. And we would meet every Thursday night or Tuesday night or something at a coffee shop. And we started putting all these things together. And we were like, oh, we can talk to this grocery store. We can talk to this grocery store. We could put all these things together. And almost 2 months later, we had all this documentation done. I hear an announcement where Instacart had raised $44 million. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And we basically dropped the project. There's no place for us. There's already competition. But what I didn't realize is that was a sign for us to keep going.
Oh, yes.
Because now if you look at it, there's Uber Eats, there's Grubhub, there's DoorDash, there's all of these services. They do exactly the same thing. And if you look at Instacart, they raised $44 million, but they were only in LA and San Francisco. Now I'm here in Denver. Denver didn't have anything. So I should have kept going and launched this thing and at least getting some rubber on the road. Because anytime you see a competition, it just means that there's more people willing to spend money there's more people willing to pay for that or invest in that kind of service.
So right, yeah, that's what I was just going to say, because then you can use them as an example. Hey, they're not here and they have all this money. That means it works. Yes. We need something like that here. But, and you have something to hold a mirror up to.
Exactly. But I wasn't there. Like, our mindset wasn't there. Like, I had to go through this journey myself in the past 10 years to understand what it means when there's competition. It means that it is good for business. Competition is good for business. It doesn't mean that you stop. It means that you keep going and develop that idea and do the boring stuff. But
yeah, sometimes. And also, Helene has this in her books. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished all of Tag's books. He might have it somewhere too. Ideas float.
Yes.
There's a famous story about Prince who woke up his recording manager at 3 a.m. because he had an idea. And the fella said to him, "We can do this tomorrow." Like, he goes, "No. If I don't do this right now, Michael Jackson will record it." Like, he knew ideas float over, and he didn't want Michael to get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to record it right now before it left. He wanted to bring it into physical form from thought.
And I think that's exactly what I did. That idea came to me. So let me start working on it. So immediately, and thanks to the technology we have at hand now, I don't know where it's going to be in the next year and a half, but I was like, "Hey, ChatGPT, give me a list of instruments that start with all the alphabets, all the letters, and the animals, and how can they be performing this?" So that was the beginning. And
I use ChatGPT for sweepstakes entries.
You got to do it.
A lot, some of them ask for essays.
Mm-hmm.
So I just use it for, "Please write me an essay that's this long in a fun and quirky manner discussing this."
Yes. You got to give it the fuel and you get the good results. I love it.
And it makes sweepstake entering so much faster. I can't use it for everything, but for those ones, it's great.
For those ones, it makes sense. Yeah. All right, Carolyn, let's jump into the last section of the episode where I ask 6 questions. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Habit? Oh, I wish I'd started meditation.
Hobby.
Sorry. I thought you said habit, because the habit would have been meditation. And actually the same. I wish I had started sweepstaking far earlier, because I remember when I was 14, I was calling into the local radio station, but I didn't know there was a whole hobby around it.
Yeah.
And in the 80s, when I
turned 18, Clearinghouse.
I would have passed. I probably would have won so much more, because the hobby was so different. It was all mail-in back then.
Yeah.
And the competition was far less. I probably would have won more than I do. And I win a lot now. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how much I would have won then.
All right. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I didn't know when I was a kid. I always said the usual things, a ballerina. I didn't dance. I tap danced, but I didn't. And the jobs have changed so much. I didn't have an answer. And it makes sense that I turned out to be a writer, because I was a reader.
There you go. Yeah. Very close to it. What's your favorite movie or TV show?
Oh, I know this one because I've seen it 100 times. I'll give 2 answers. And one is for work and one is for pleasure. My favorite movie that I like to watch over and over again is called A View from the Top. And if you watch it, it's basically the hero's journey. If you're familiar with the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are.
And yeah. And it doesn't appear to be on the surface. And her path isn't straight. It starts with her being fired.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend breaking up. Like, everything just right at the beginning of the movie. And the end is a twist. Like, she ends up in a place she didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And her path was like this.
Yeah.
She was blocked. And this happened. And that happened. And it's really interesting to see. But it's in a comedy movie that's quirky. And it's like a rom-com. You wouldn't expect a hero's journey in a rom-com. But it is. It's the hero's journey.
It's there. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie. And the other one that I love is actually a sweepstakes-based movie. It's called The Prize Winner of Defiance, Ohio. The book and the movie are a little bit different. I did get to meet the actual Affidaisies before they all passed away.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, everything in the book and the movie happened, but they had to sometimes take three stories and make it one story because otherwise
it would be too much. Don't make it more, yeah, dramatic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, more dramatic. And so they put some stories were together. But yeah, that was another journey. And the reason I like to tell that one is because we don't know how big our pebble is. That's what I say about this. So Evelyn Ryan is the protagonist in that book and movie. And she lives what she probably considered a small life. But her daughter found all of her journals and notebooks after she passed and wrote this book. And then it was turned into a movie. And it has changed countless lives.
Of course. Yeah.
And she had no idea in her lifetime what her little life was going to do to the world. So her pebble was much bigger. She had no idea how far it would ripple out when it was thrown into that pond.
Yeah.
And so we underestimate ourselves. We have no idea how far we ripple out.
Amen.
We have no idea. Like, you've written a children's book. You don't know how many kids are going to read that and it's going to change them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have no idea. So we just have to trust the process. That's a great movie too.
I love that. I love that so much because she journaled a lot, right? And then that's how the book came out, because of the journaling. So she was building on that pebble every single day by writing that in that journal.
But she didn't know.
She didn't know.
She had no clue in her lifetime.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, she nearly lost her house. The subtitle of the book is the How to Raise 10 Kids on 25 Words or Less. They had some days there was no food in the house.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Amazing. All right. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh my gosh. There's so many movies to pick from. Do I want to be tough? I almost don't know if I want to be in a movie, because I'll tell you why. And I talk about this sometimes. So sometimes we think our lives are boring. We wake up, we take a shower, we do our meetings, we do our thing, we cook dinner, we go watch some, you know, TV, and we go to bed, and we have this like little life. And we watch these movies. I always think of like Indiana Jones, where the guy's in the jungle and he's like he's running, and then he thinks he gets away, and now there's arrows pointed at him, and this happens, and he's jumping off a train. We do not want that life. We do not want to be. But it's got twists and turns and action.
Yeah.
And then at the end,
you have arrived.
But I don't know if I want my life to be like an action flick. And then you get the Oscar winners that are so dramatic, but they agonize. Like, one of my favorite movies was Out of Africa. Oscar winning, the spectacular, the acting. But she ends up, she's sick, and her great love dies, and she writes these books in isolation in the later years of her life. Like, I don't know if I want that either. I don't know what movie I would pick. Is there a nice one where someone just, you know, has some fun? And
that's the thing, right? If you condense anything down, there's a lot of fun happening. There's a lot of events, there's a lot of things, and sometimes maybe we need to write a movie of your life.
Sometimes I think my life, I'll give this description. I think my life is more like a Seinfeld episode, a lot about nothing.
Oh my God, it's too funny. Oh,
we did that. I used to take the train when I was years ago, take the train downtown every day. And four of us, we end up meeting people on the train. So it turned out there was always this one area we'd always sit in, the four of us, all the time, and we'd talk. And we're like the four of them on Seinfeld. We talk a lot about nothing. That's what we do every day.
I love it. All right. Last up, who is your favorite superhero?
I would have to say Wonder Woman, because we need more female superheroes. We need more
yeah, absolutely. Yes.
We need more female ones, but they're all, I like them all. They all have their own quirks and fun things.
Yeah. And last of all, if you were a board game, what would it be?
I would say Monopoly, only because that's how I feel like I go through life sometimes. I'm rolling the dice. I'm getting ahead. Sometimes you go back around. Sometimes you don't pass go. Then you land on something and you can buy a hotel.
Yeah.
Then somebody else comes and buys it off you. That's life, right? That's how it feels sometimes. I would say Monopoly, a classic.
Fantastic. All right. Where can my audience find you, Carolyn?
If you want to learn how to win sweepstakes, it's contestqueen.com. If you have a sweepstakes you want to run, it's ideamajesty.com. And if you want to read any of my books, it's Words for Winning. I love that. That's where you win in life and sweepstakes. I have all the books and the upcoming books there.
Perfect. I'll be sure to include the links into the show notes. Thanks so much, Carolyn, for this conversation. I had a lot of fun and learned a ton more. Thank you for your advice, your wisdom, and your energy here on the podcast. Till the next
one. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.